Yeah. I most of that was slightly expanded in a number of times, and I don't want to bore you getting to this specifics that you touch the specifics. I think where is the order, and maybe I should not point to that. It's it's over the record. I don't know on page 82 when you say terminated. Very low there, maybe you can explain what you mean when say successfully committed. Now this is actually what you just said in the investigation for you. When you say this successfully committed, are you meaning conviction? Or are you meaning closing of the case when there is the intervention from a the issue saying that you can't listen to that information? What are the means like this to make it successfully terminated?
Just one question on page 82.
I see here
the file already case dockets are not put in terms of they are not put in terms of percentages but in terms of numbers. What happened here? Do you say we are only going to deal with 30 for the financial year? And what happens with the other investigated? Because 50% was a percentage, I would understand. But this is the number. 30 trials really case dockets. We're trying to say these are the only ones that we are going to say for prosecution, or are you only going to investigate the case or whatever? And the 376 million of assets restrained. When you say restrained, I don't know what that means. Are you saying recovered or what does that mean? Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you very much, Thank you, Chairperson. Just one question at this point for me. In relation to the new indicator and targets relating to cybercrime, which is good to see, but I have a concern, especially in light of having read somewhere, I can't remember if it was an article or a research paper, but in the past week or so reading that cybercrime had been identified as one of the top six threats for the coming, I think, decade or at the initial time frame. So for the initial targets to be 18%, and I see it goes up initially by 10 percentage points, and then after the six in subsequent financial years. But the starting point seems a bit low. And my question is, what was the reasoning for starting at 18%? How did you arrive at that figure? Because it seems to me like a very low bar to start at, given the nature and seriousness of cybercrime and threats, and given how far behind we already are in this country in terms of preparedness and ability to counter. Thank you.
Thank you.
these children 18 years in Kunda. Why is the fishing rate being in Lower? What is the message missing? Is it maybe that we didn't achieve the targets in the previous year, or the previous year of performance, and now we just lower it? I mean, if we can get that comprehensive response. Thank you. Let's go to the National Commission.
Thank you, Chairperson. they not necessarily below previous financial performance. But the first thing that we take into account is that when we set the target, we apply the zero based approach to always start counting from 1 year beginning of the financial year. Then we must exceed that number, then set the target. And when we do the same, we also take into consideration the resources which have been allocated for investigations. So that we make sure that we also do the source calculation and planning around those particular types. But the other policies that we are putting in place to try and enhance the or reconfigure the target is that beyond this particular operation at the end. The first one, we are running a project with the approval of the National Commissioner for the reintroduction of uniform investigation. Because at the present moment, something that would also allow us to lift up the targets for detectives is to take away quite a lot of other cases that consider them as not that serious and allocate them for the uniform investigation so that we can then prioritize only serious cases, limit the number and have serious cases so that the civil investigators can concentrate on what it can then help us to give up the target. But then again, we have also introduced the multidisciplinary collaborated investigations that by working together we can share the suspects, we can then limit also the number of dogs and then we can shoot up our targets. I think this is what I can say at the present moment. Thank you.
Sorry, still in the hand at the back as well.
that in an echo is not, the redefinition would allow the resolution to come.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. Thank you, General. Honorable Minister. I just want to explain what we mean by the priority docket, and then I'll answer the question as to who determines which and whatever. The priority docket is a fully investigated docket where it includes one or more charges, which can be utilized by the National Prosecuting Authority for the prosecution of offenders on charges reflected in the case docket. Fully investigated means that there is no outstanding information which requires further investigation by a detective, and that all evidence, for example statements and specialist reports, have been obtained. That is what the trial ready docket means. The prosecuting authority determines whether the docket is trial ready or not, together with the investigating officer. The prosecutor will write in the docket for trial on such and such dates, subpoena the following witnesses. When that docket comes back from the court with that instruction from the prosecutor, we endorse the docket on our system as trial ready, and it will be in effect as now indicated as an official has been certified as trial ready. Thank you, sir.
Proceed on that day, but the doctor is still trial ready. The trial
does not proceed because of many reasons, maybe the availability of the defense counsel and that type of thing and so on. But to come to the question of cases being thrown out of court, did I understand that the case where the person is not convicted? It depends on when we as the police and the prosecutor, or the inspectors and the prosecutor decide that this case is ready, we base it on the evidence that is in the case, that we have a prima facie case. But when you go to trial, there's many things that come into play, especially the human factor related to the credibility of your witnesses, whether they can stand under the pressure of cross-examination and that. The question is, the issue is, we as the state must prove our case beyond a reasonable doubt, whereas the defendants should just come and say there's a possibility that the state is failing. So we must go far beyond to prove. And then there's numerous cases that we can talk about relating to that. But to prove is very difficult, although when you have the case of it, based on the evidence in the case of it, we agree that there is a case. But there's many things that come into play during the time. That's the case that I can answer this year.
Yes, thank you. Maybe I would just add this is what the members are saying, also advantage to witness, especially within our day is common. Some of the negatives. Now, why the case is watertight? The state in which a witness is when it's in court, it is a negative, though it provides witness protection and all that, but that's the consequence of it. The chair, in a certain sense, is the question, we do have 155 of the detective case court officers throughout the country in all the provinces, and we started with the more easier courts. And we have deployed the system that is experienced detective officers.
Come back to us
we investigate that the NPA's client was here. Now, we as the police, we have to close the case in front because that is the normal technology we use. So, there is a number of cases that are drawn, not because we didn't prove the case, but because the NPA feels that they don't want to prosecute. So those are the two different categories of cases. But I want to add on this point of cases where people are end up being found not guilty in the court. Like he said, sometimes it happens that a person pleads not guilty initially, and then case becomes postponed because the defendant must get a defense. And due to the dragging of postponement, trying to get a defense for this person, especially those who cannot afford to pay for themselves, you have to go to the legal agencies. In that process, sometimes very important witnesses become tired of coming to court because of a lot of postponement. And then they change address, the other one goes there. Sometimes key ones die, even with the assurance there. So you find that now, the prosecution will find that the main evidence from which we could have convicted is not existing anymore. Then even if they continue with the existing witness, they still fail to prove a case beyond another doubt. And then we find that not guilty. So it is possible that initially it can be satisfied as trial rate, but along the road, key witnesses, some die, some disappear, the prosecution cannot prove the case anymore.
Thank you very much. Chairperson, the question about the capacity of our advertising content in the executive, as well as the overall agency in the executive, I will ask the General Johnson and others.
No, I think reasonably will support any effort to supposed to be done, talking to, doing to. Everyone always talk about this talk, maybe that. What is this person doing at the moment? Thank you.
Can you just briefly check this? The nature of crime in terms of the cyber crime requires also a very strong nexus that they are holding there. If you go to any banking environment, you find that there's a head of this environment in terms of the cyber crime. That's what you need to do. It's like I said, because it's not the type of skill color, it's because of the evolving nature of this crime that you find in every city. We know that some of our ordinary police would struggle to say, you know, here is a cyber matter. It's an area that will be needed. From in fact, the nexus of this strategy can be entirely changed. That's where the sense of our cyber crime is. As indicated, DPCI for the next area, now we're moving into crime intelligence because we're saying, in all nature of crimes, we're saying the levels 1 to 5. DPCI focuses on the high commercial related crimes at level 4 and 5. We must see the capacity right now, as we are saying, on the right. When my credit card is taken and twice, those smaller level crimes also require to be looked into. And this is why we are now building a capacity in the tech to start looking at levels 1 to 5. And I think that within government, the issue, and it's not only all over the world, globally, the issue of cybercrime is evolving. And in detail, we take the note of what is being mentioned, the recruitment that we're talking about, the building of the response. Our NSS, as you indicated, that one of the high threats that we're dealing with, and currently, the private sector is really the public sector in terms of cybercrime. But I must say, even now, a lot of private sector people use our cybercrime in the smallest it may be in crime intelligence, and we just advertise the national code in the state. We will be able to report on the cybercrime region.
And I just want to mention this on the issue of the relevant priorities for the coming times in the NIC. Early on, 70 members will get cybercrime training, that was 93,000, and only 5 courses is available. So I think there must be a rethink, you know, in terms of all the violence, because it's only 170. You know, if you look at the numbers and the services and so on, we need, you know, improvement is a lot.
Can we note, I'm sure the comments that were made by Honorable Ramadakan, and I'm sure they are for you, Jeffrey, but just for me, the issue of programming has been confirmed by National Vision Limit to make sure that we institutionalize that we submit all the bills that we submit. You mentioned that when we were reporting on the next day, and we are committed to the full implementation of the law in a manner that it is needed. I don't think that next year will become a huge chapter that will be reporting in this manner. Program 6, the head of the DCCI shall be here to do the report. Regarding the 1.6 billion who decided, in all the programs that we have on the program, each of the heads of the portfolio together with the units put together their needs and expenses so that when we put our strategy, we are able to do this. I must say, General Sedex has not said the budget that was in the North West, General Thomas, together with his team, and that we can take into account. And remember that that process has been going on over a number of years since the DCCI was established, and I'm sure General Sedex can also talk to that. We don't need to keep the report with the continuity that are being presented to the hearing table. And I recall last year that when General Lamar came to present to the community, we were there and some of the needs of the subject were clearly articulated. So, now I'm sure that has been challenged by General Lamar to deal with it.
to say that since day one when they came over the sun, they are such high priority that we, I think, a few years ago, came to the Treasury and also to Parliament, and we obtained another plus minus 100. To that budget, we haven't really, we haven't introduced any cut and so forth, but what normally happens is that national success in financialism, operations, etc. projects, obviously, as we go forward, within having a more refined staff establishment and so forth on all axes that they are dealing with, obviously that interaction will even increase. So the fact is, we can assure you from our side, high priority, and I am going to ask Colonel Ray to my right hand side, so just to give you two or three indications of how do they view their budget in terms of the function before this might be syndicated in the job.
Thank you, Honourable Chairperson. I want to confirm, and I'll bring this to the Commission of Financial Commission, just touch on the issue of the breakdown in terms of the 1.3 billion, and also the issue of why it provides 1.8% local allocation that we need to report. First, let me start by saying, just to give a rough reference, 76% of the 1.3 budget comprises compensation of employees. It relates to our salary bonuses, leave, which leaves the 24% that comprises the operational costs for the business. Now, what I can indicate, as the representative has indicated, we do provide our budget input to the National Commission on an annual basis for the entire DPCI and self-defense. We have identified priorities, strategic priorities for the DPCI based on the threats that that are existing within in our country. We've adopted a project-based investigation approach, which is intelligence-led. We've allocated from the balance of the 200 million, approximately 30 million towards a project and project investigations, 20 million towards training and development, because we are guided by the legislation that indicates that the DPCI must attract personnel with expertise and knowledge in the field. So we are over and above the allocation of training and development that's made by the division HRD. From our operational budget, are allocating more funds towards training and development. Then we do, and then I'm maybe pleased to report that we've allocated in this year a further 10 million towards cyber crime laboratories that will be established in support of the threat of cyber crime in the country. Now this includes hardware and software capabilities that are requisite. We constantly, within the commercial crime space, are utilizing chartered accounting services for very serious commercial crime cases. So we've allocated approximately 10 million towards that. And obviously, in investigation of our cases, the use of informants is still a very key aid that we're using, and we've allocated about 5 million towards that. And then the balance of it toward our normal operating recurring expenditure and fuel to maintain the fleet and other consumables that actually required in the DPCI. What I can just finally say, Chairperson, is that the DPCI is currently at a very advanced stage, as the National Commission rightly indicated, in determining the fixed establishment of the DPCI. Now, the legislation is clear that the National Head must make that determination in consultation with the DPSA. The Minister of Peace has already written to the Minister of the DPSA. I can also confirm that a DG responsible in the DPSA has already met with the DPCI, the DPC, the National Head of the DPCI, in assisting in that process. And to that end, what we find ourselves in a place where our forthcoming budget input that will be made by the National Head will then incorporate what will then be the new staff requirements in terms of grades and levels that are requisite to be able to deal with the stress that we are facing. We will make those submissions as required by the legislation to the accounting officer who has to make that visible to the association. That will be done in the coming Thursday. And then finally, I want to indicate we do confirm that in terms of the establishment of Program 6, from the EDCI side, we've already started to, after consultation with that meetings with the National Police Office, General Ndliwa and the CFO, and General Skipper, where we started to identify what some of the sub-programs that we need to identify within our new program that needs to be established in terms of descriptions, in terms of the narrative. And once that is finalized, we'll then be able to do the costing so that we can provide a proper estimate in that regard. So I want to re-echo the sentiments of the National Commission that in 2016-17 financial year, the EDCI program should be established. And the PMA makes provisions for the introduction of new programs within the Department of Roads by the accounting officer. So this has to follow the budgetary process, and I think we're well on the way.
Just follow up, you know, Skipper referred to some technical issues on previous sites. So those issues are far away. Are they still on the table? So what I actually referred to is what Mike Thurman really referred to was basically the budget process. And those things such as the budget description, budget name, the costing, the purpose of the program, the purpose of the sub-program, those are the issues that I referred to. And they are part and parcel of the creation of the program during the EDCI process.
Can
I want to respond that we do have a challenge with available members versus the doctors on hand. But it is being addressed through the Care's office, the shortages, and the detectives has been prioritized for capacitation. There was the conviction rate, we are using the same formula relating that the AMPA is using to determine the conviction rate. It is not what we want it to be on the budget, but we are working in the direction of improving. In this regard, we have embarked on community involvement in assisting us with giving proper investigator cases to the prosecutor to prosecute with a view of a successful investigation. We have utilized informants in this regard. We paid more than 5 million rand on informants. But what is encouraging to me is that through our crime stop officers, we are receiving tip-offs from the public essays from the public, quotes from the public, who doesn't want remuneration. Does out of their own will and on the basis of anonymity, provide us with information that we follow. I can just say that we have received for up until December, we have received 1,548 requests from the public. We received 191,857 calls. We received 12,644 SMS. We recovered items, stolen items and other goods and drugs to the value of 8.3 million through information from the public at the transfer office. We had 187 positive cases and we affected 269 of this. So there's a very positive response from the public in assisting police relating to that. We have then went further and we have embarked in the biggest public awareness campaigns and testing of public and so on. The SCS, for example, had 142 initiatives, public awareness initiatives. Our Crime Stop and some persons, our section are working together. We have done 18 awareness campaigns. We have also visibility at the Land Shop, where we were very well accepted by the public and especially with children and schools. And then the other assistance that we get is through the National Anti-Corruption Hotline. We receive numerous appropriate information that we provide through our strategic management office that we take to the residency on the purpose and information that we receive. So, Jefferson, I'm very positive that the engagement and interaction with public, the approach and the general acceptance of the detective service and police in general identified by members of the public are steadily growing and improving, and we should just enhance it to be more effective in our investigation. Thank you, sir.
General, I hear you, but I break the English speaking that the father of Zinzu Media, I'm thinking of your steps as the detectives, not even no progress on what matter. Now, if that is that the idea of facts, how do you deal with that? And you have other things you might mention of, but how do you deal with that?
Thank you, Jefferson.
Difficult.
No, it's not in the situation, and I want to be diplomatic. As a detective, for me, as a detective, all my cases should be regarded as my case. I should not be in a position where one victim is more important than the other victim. Then I think I'm losing my role as a detective. But there are cases that is of importance that need to be prioritized. We deal with these cases in a multidisciplinary way. Relating to reporting of progress to victims or relatives of deceased, we have processes in place for the investigating officers to provide a regular feedback to our clients. We've issued instructions in that regard, and we are currently busy with our TNTs to develop electronic reporting to people who have access to email and cell phones so that we can deal with it. We are busy with it. We are progressing with the change.
That was my question. I mean, I agree with you that there's nothing like special races. I also know that it's just actually people complain and deal with it. But that is a good, that's a very famous example.
certain areas where we need to say we need to do more.
Okay.
There are certain areas where we need to say we need to do more. This is one of the goals. And I'm saying that that's the same thing there. We have started to introduce technology, communication that is technology based in this course. People can come to say, now I can't be able to generate an automatic message telling the person who is going to say, to take us this event, this is your guest now. The challenge is given to all the detectives and CMS is that there, we have the basis. That technology should be able to have a structured feedback process to the client that shows that if they are programming it to give feedback every month or every 2 months, it should have the capacity to do so, to tell the client what the case is. And this is what General Dessert is talking about today. We're saying, let us work on this and ensure that they're really appropriate. But we're not going to wait for the number. We are looking for consistency in terms of managing our feedback to the client. In this scenario, in the case of maybe we're expecting somebody who's handling that topic, but we how much opportunity is there in the present elsewhere to ensure that they cross the T's and dot the I's in terms of the keeping people informed in terms of feedback. And I'll give an example of a case that was carrying a similar one, and this is where I'm saying consistency then becomes very, very important. If I take an already case, we actually gave the detective an award, because the family, after the case was involved, one of the negatives from the family congratulating the detective team was that one thing they did not suffer from was feedback from the detective in terms of where they were. And after when she was invited to the event where we were awarding the detective, actually said she found that a healing process, just to know that work is being done on the matter of the matter of her son. So I want to concede here to say there's much more than the state of management. And I talked also to the absence of that commander today. Where is the commander of the doctor? Because the commander of the doctor should be able to go through the file and actually check whether that feedback has been given. So let me concede that check. It's an area where we have to cross our teeth and dot our eyes, which we were
It has nothing to do with the saying there are some of those cases where complaints will come directly to the National Commissioner. Some will come, even to my office will come, they will also come to the Divisional Commissioner. So, and we do have the different categories of investigation, especially in the case we focus on high profile investigation, like the fire, the National Commissioner, as I said. And the heading to the National Commission, I wanted to say, Chair, that firstly, it is a service charter requirement for detectives and all investigators to give feedback to the complainant. And two, we have recently introduced the Squadron Service Delivery Project as the run together. That has been incorporated into the Frontline Service Delivery Project, and it's a standard practice at all the police stations at the SSD, and we tend to extend it and cover them all. And then we've also introduced basic policing principles, web basic policing in them. This particular feedback on the docket is part and parcel of the basis, and if there's no compliance with it, I think previously I've introduced to the committee the compliance board. It's also a matter which is prioritized for the compliance board is going to be enforced. So the detectives do not have a choice in terms of this. I also finally when I raise an international relationship, this is one case that is formalized in the first day.
Colleagues, speak up, let's 5 minutes, just to be going to get some coffee and come back for the 5 minutes. Thank you.
Thank you.
have been smoking and those in the Samaritan Legion have been better. Is it something that we can do for other reasons?
Thank you, Mr. Members, Trash Commissioner and the
determined by
therefore we request the investigating officers request and apply for rewards when he or she experiences difficulty in the investigation of this case. The detective commander at the police station will instruct the investigating officer to apply for a reward based on the nature of the crime, the difficulty of the investigation. The application will then be forwarded to the provincial office, where in terms of delegation of powers, the provincial head will determine in terms of value, amount value, what he or she can approve. Otherwise, the reward will be forwarded to the Divisional Commission, who will determine the amount. So there's no fixed amount for a reward. It depends on the nature of the circumstances of the crime, the difficulty of the investigation, and so on. I just want to say that there's lots of rewards that are being offered that are not, they are not necessarily reflected in the media, or say for example over the television. But we do, what we do is that we utilize local media, local newspapers, where we place rewards. So unless it's a national issue, this is in the national space.
Just to add to it, sir, I think we provided at some point that thick document to the committee in terms of informing the reward system, but what I actually like to say is it's a cap. Above 250,000 international register. Up to 250,000 is still at the level of delegations. So it's not a thing for all, and I think we're also apart from what General Johnson said, the contributes. There's precedence in the past, you know, this kind of nature and this kind of crime. So I think that's what they follow. It's not a A plus B plus C scenario. But there is a cap, so you don't get the runaway scenario at all.
Yes, it's
actually
the document refers to set out the criteria, and there's no classification. Thank you.
Chairperson, I don't think that to the other question that has been raised by Honorable Ramadan on mother tongue statement. The issue of language in statement taking is very important. And we are busy working on a project where we are also saying to look at the mother tongue statement taking. On Friday, we are having a meeting with the CSIR because one of the initiatives that we were discussing when we came to the portfolio committee is the language lab. Because we are hoping that through the language laboratories we will be able to assist our officers to improve their language, different languages, as well as to look at how we develop mother tongue agency, which is a critical report. For the frontline service deliveries on the projects that are being on the things that are being piloted, we are also introducing income form statement taking so that they can be assisted in terms of their statement and their records with income form records. So those are some of the things that we're working on, working process, and we hope to report on those. But the question about issues of the CRC, and I'd like to say to Dr. Tani in the end of policy to the Dr. Tani.
Thanks, Sema. I understand the question being twofold. One, the issue of capacity, secondly, the issue of gadgets. In terms of capacity, we continue to grow our capacity to enable us to respond to crises. But to complement that, we are now in the second year that we have introduced FLG our arrangement, which enable us to deploy 24/7. because it's important that when financial experts are activated, they respond accordingly to currency use, because the delay in getting to a currency makes us run the risk of having the currency being compromised, since you know, the currency could be tempered upon, which is not what we intend. So the first of our system is the principles to make sure that we do not get all our people deployed between 7 and 4, but they get deployed throughout. And that means also to the kind of equipment. In the past, you would not have been positioned to take your fish during the night. When it became dark, you could not get country experts to attend to a country. But with the importance of technology and what we have acquired and are doing in the provinces, people are able to do currency during the night. We recently hosted our conference. One of the exciting initiatives is coming from a constable in the Western Cape, who's a currency expert, is the ability or the capability to be able to take fingerprints from a web surface, which for us is a breakthrough, and I think it is just showing the growth in the industry. Thanks.
Chair, the next question goes to what from the Honourable Minister, I think, to do with the executive and auditor who has given money. I'll ask the General Secretary to answer that.
Thank you for the Honourable Minister. The number one arrested for selling the case of the Council of the Board, and the Honourable Member for the one arrested. And this case is coming as hot for the 29th of April. It is still in detention at the Royal Prison of the Foreign Services. Disciplinary action, misconduct is being attended to. And once it is finalized, I think the matter will be handled the way it should be, because Oliver Bosch is a station that actually emanates from Beerdebrand. It was a satellite station initially of Beerdebrand. And then it is now serving the new area there, which they used to call software in the past, but like Emma Rubana said, it is called Oliver Bosch. So it was having a little bit of problems in the past, Oliver Bosch. I know for the fact that even in the past, due to the misconduct of the members or other members, plus minus four members were charged and dismissed. So I am confident that with this one also, the station commissioner will do the matter. So this matter is a serious attention. Thank you very
much. Thank you. So the organization part of the question, what would happen to the command? Yeah, I wanted to indicate in an instance like this, when an environmental investigation has been commissioned, it looks at all the factors, including what the role of the commander was. And when the report comes out, it will spell out the findings and the recommendations. And if the commander also falls and omitted to fulfill his duties, what
is the recommendation that
the
commander
has? Thank you.
Chair, there were questions raised by Honourable Mackie. Sir, the two trial medicated doctors of the same case for numbers are being reported to deal with the risk as well as issues relating to access to the trade. If I may request a several questions from the window.
Thank you, Chair. Pursuing the rules of the Secretary of sometimes the lower authority as well. Let's take an example of the Consular Commercial Crime. When the Constitutional Crime is decreased and denied, and then now we added, because our percentage was 22%, then we added 10% and it gave us 52%, and we all get that it's still lower, and then we added to make 80-80, and we were equipped here in Parliament to create our national law, and then we had a new adjustment for the revised years to be 80-80. Nonetheless, we're dealing with cases of each and every case of commercial crime. Now we are focusing on the money of the PCI. So now we did the necessary that we focus on the PCI and we will be dealing with most of the priority cases. And that's why our target now has to be adjusted by our private discussion. And the first item whether I can talk
thank you, Chairperson. My question was on slide 82, where you use numbers. 35 ready case doctors. Why the number is not the percentage? Are you only going to be dealing with 30 and nothing else? And how do you
know? Thank you, sir. The question of this collab is specifically dealing with the task team, anti-corruption task team, which is supposed to be in existence until 2019. So that's why we are having even a threshold in terms of the restraint order. It's been set by the JPC as not by us, before anti-corruption task team. They are not accommodated in terms of the foundation.
Thank you, Chairperson. My point is, Chairperson, if we look at the 2012-2013, it was 86%, 89%. Now, it is said that for 2050, 16, and so on, till 2018, it is 80%. But it was, for 2-3 years, it was higher than that. And if I look at the strategic plan for 2014-2019, there is a huge discrepancy. Because on page 35 of the strategic plan, if you look at the serious crime, it says to increase the detection rate for all serious crime to 41.1%. The baseline was 2012-2030. If you look at all on page 35, to increase the trial ready case doctors rate for serious crime to 69%. It was 68%. If I went through these figures, over a period until 2019, I think the highest was just under 2%. That was the detection rate for serious crime. Can we say that to the people of South Africa that over the next 3-4 years, we're going to increase our performances with less than 1%? That is how good we are. I can't accept that.
Honourable Chair, my apologies. My mind was to follow up on the commitment at the beginning from the National Commission of Respect to the 865 type of work. I was going to just appeal to the National Commission. It's just a statement I want to make for your consideration. It's fairly painful. Painful is very soft language. In the Western days, I think you do know the highest station was crime as well as matter. And I'm sure if you've done some analysis of the statistics, you would see that in most of them, there's no, you can't find who is the perpetrator of this particular. Although somebody is killed by a knife or by some other object, but there is no perpetrator of that particular crime. Because a crime is committed, and don't have the country management, and they don't have any political subsidies. The first 10, 15 hours later, then of course the rejection comes to happen. So I'm just wanting to say to the commissioner's team that Nyangaba also said the same thing about Kalito, the Costa Road, that there must be some degree of hardiness in dealing with this particular aspect. Because some, you can't explain, it's an unexplainable problem that we have people that are in murder, but nobody's arrested, nobody will ever be arrested because of this. So I'm just appealing to hardiness in terms of changing this direction of the crime scene and detectives that have been abusing about the person of the crime.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, it's an issue of, I think, national concept. We have watched over the years, there was targets to bring down serious amount of crime by, I think it was 10-14%, up to the next 7%, I think that target dropped to 5%, 2%. Whenever targets aren't reached, they can give up the targets. And we've got exactly the same here, strategic priority targets based on estimated performance. They dropped the target. The detection rate for serious crime was 44%, now they're going to aim for 41%. Child ready cash dropped was 72%, they're going to only aim for 68%, which means next year it's down 50%, the next year it's down 40%, and yet the budget goes up and up and up. Surely, management should be aiming higher instead of
Doctors will go away.
Prakash, is there a theory must?
It has been a new indicator that has been introduced in this study.
we do concede that it is giving up the liberation, that it is a seemingly low ability against the threat that exists within the country. But what I want to indicate is, as part of our process of establishing programs, yes, it is required of us to develop sub-programs. Sub-programs that reflect the priorities of the program or the support priorities of the main purpose of the program. And cybercrime is one of them. As the general has indicated, cybercrime was located within the commercial crime space. And cybercrime, the legislation around cybercrime is currently at a very advanced stage of being finalized, the bill will be finalized, where it now speaks to cross-cutting strategy, where cybercrime will be looked at in all series of industries, not only in commercial, but also organized crime and commercial in terms of the mandate of the DPCI. What I can confirm, Chairperson, is that in establishing the sub-program for cybercrime, we will then look at increasing the capacity that is required to deal with this threat. And we commit ourselves to review the target as we can make progress in terms of being able to facilitate that space. We only have a very limited capacity which needs to serve us just to the environment. But we are very committed to being able to deal with this.
All right. Thank you.
One of
our members referred adding the network programs, so if there's any final questions before we go to the last program, I just have two questions from my side. Maybe in terms of the health contract, you know, this is a lot of a number problem. That's what big issue from the other perspectives, again, the lack of support with the health department. Maybe on the community side, I think it's vital that we now find our own information. So if you can just maybe have some feedback on that matter, that would be appreciated. And then one issue back again to the Constitutional Court case of last year, Donald. Now one of the issues that was snatched by the court was the determination of the policy guidelines.
Now, we will also engage with the Secretariat with regard to those issues next week, but what is from the SAS point of view? What did you do since December to deal with that? Because if we say the hooks are operating, but there isn't at this stage, well, it's the making of the hooks, it's not your making. How do we deal with the determination of the policy guidelines? That is, there's no policy by guidelines. So maybe that's an issue that the portfolio committee must proactively take on board. But just to give comments, we will also engage with the Secretariat on that next week. Yes, Honourable Malabasi and then we'll go to Barnard.
What is the progress in migration from the
Honourable Kovana?
Two issues. I want to thank specifically Senator Pashane, who is amazing, frankly. Anytime I have someone who is in desperate need of HPR certificates, I eventually have it within a few hours, so thank you. I do believe, however, that the fact that people can sit on the phone hour after hour after hour and not get through means that there's a problem at that level. So unless they know someone on the committee who knows you, people are you know, they can miss sporting competitions or whatever it is they've got a deadline they have to get to. Because the staff that are working for you are not as good as you are. So that's just a point. So the second thing is the extreme decrease in the target set for the value of active seats in serious commercial crime investigation. It decreased from 125 million down to more than 5 million. And now, it just seemed very odd. In 2015-16, the target was 376 million. In 2013, the total value 1.034 million. And the target's already been achieved, but the residential target was significant overachievement. Would be welcome. What is the situation with that And what is your relationship in terms of, or are you in competition with, or how does it work when you have an active forfeiture unit who basically does a very similar job? Thank you.
Any other members on the right hand proposed jobs for the 2015 budget on these programs? Okay, thanks. That's it from the CIP.
So, President, thank you very much. We note the issue on the support for the Department of Health, and I'm not sure if there's any fresh information that you can share, but we really would do this by the time. I will make sure that we meet with the DGA carefully, and I will be prepared for those engagements with the system. The determination of the policy guidelines, I'll have a Mr. General to see that to talk to that. And the result of the progress of migration, also come to this general consideration with the determination of that.
Thank you, sir. And the guidelines for the DPCI, it's been drafted, but it's not actually that good. The process is back now that they are looking at the FDA, and then it's still looking at what the issue is. But we do have the guidelines that are being drafted, but we are waiting just for the answer.
No, I think the strategy, as you will discuss with us today, but we need, I think, an implementation plan with the dates that we are completely satisfied that those are in place, and that is really your governing framework, so that's why you want to ask the
National Committee. So I'll introduce the response to the question on progress in migration. Where I'm speaking of the general state, we also make an input together with both teams, the cities and the GTCI. I'm quite satisfied with on the basis of the framework for the migration. I think a lot of work went into that process. General Kamal and General Moon and General the team that were set up. A lot of work has been done, the principles have been set. The driving support separation has been said, and I think bar for minor achieved here and then we're almost ready in space where with all these court issues now in abeyance, we really need to get into the working mode of making sure that these issues are taken care of, and I'm sure that maybe in a court in a 3 months time we'll be able to report more concretely what we have done in terms of implementing the framework. And General Stephen, I think I don't know if you have comments, and then from there I'll ask the colleagues also. They have to be
here.
Yeah,
Commissioner?
Yes, sir. I mean, we've talked a lot about it, and certainly it is a complex process. The moment you start dissecting or evaluating functions of a similar or different kind, and taking that into account, the number of aspects has to be addressed. And I think already refers to the one most important aspect which we are busy with, and that is the DBSA looking at their staff establishment. Because if we say staff drives the biggest cost driver, it will imply that staff will then also determine who gets what at the end of the day. I'm going to leave the thing, as from has referred to it, and I'm going to read as well.
So you agree with General, the 5 will change.
Whatever way.
By the National Commission, including Hayes Batson, who went through all that process. And we will also share with the state principles for both Tetanus and Dockett, including the allocation. And we also provide the National Instruction to see the final results of the process. So we are just waiting to proceed further on the implementation in the sector.
Thank you, Chair. The next question, I think, goes to General Hassani. This is the issue that is raised by Honorable Kola Bari on the telephone system.
Without those people in the environment, it is not possible to deliver at the rate that we deliver. So it cannot be an individual. It's a collective effort that makes us to have made a progress that we have made, and for that we are very grateful. Secondly, I want to say that of course we have seen our challenges. Part of that was the road shedding, which became a problem. Secondly, the police office strike. Because once we have processed the police clearance change, at a point where an individual applies, there is a self-addressed envelope. In other words, to say, once the certificate is ready, it must be posted back to me to this particular address. So in a mail, those police clearance certificates were then posted back to the individuals. But because of the post office strike that took too long, they were not receiving the police clearance certificates. Thus, the frustration on the part of the applicants, thus the high number of calls to the call center, which were far too much compared to the capacity that we had to contain such. Thirdly, Chair, we were confronted with an issue relating to the penalty for the Zimbabwean nationals. Without them being formally informed by the Department of Home Affairs, they went to police stations in numbers to apply for police clearance certificate, which they thought is a requirement for the renewal of their penalty. At that point, we were still engaging with the Department of Home Affairs in respect of what process to follow, where are we going to have our processes integrated, and so on. At the same time, the volume of applications were coming from the patients. We had to issue an internal communique to advise patients not to process any such applications until such time that there was a directive which would have been issued jointly with the Department of Health. Of Home Affairs. And at a point when we had done our integration, because their applications could be processed electronically, they did not necessarily have to come in to the police station to deposit their application for the police clearance certificate. So simply could check, the volumes were just too high compared to the capacity then. But I think with their challenge, we managed to overcome it. But also, an advantage for us was working together with our communications, because many of those complaints will not only have went either to individual members of the committee, they have went to the presidential hotline, they will have went to the public service commission, so one communication is nothing, but there is an increase in terms of complaint relating to police clearance certificate. There was an installation, and I think I would say at the time we were able to deal with it. It's not smooth sailing yet. We will continue to have these challenges, but I think the situation that, is under control. Thank you.
In terms of the aspect three, it's also the sharing, which was specifically to the patient team, and the only thing to bring you there is that 336 million is a final target building up to the MCFF target for 2019, which is going to be 1 billion accumulation.
the other question we were asked was the relationship between us and agriculture investigation in terms of this training program. We have got a component which is called financial and agriculture investigation, everything is cash. The one for agriculture investigation is basically doing investigation in terms of the assets, and then we submit the cases to the supervisors of the NPA. That's where the relationship stands. But when the NPA now is coming, they are orders. It's coming the orders which are investigated by our members. So that's why we usually share now the production in terms of asset activity as well as the research orders of the
and of course the program 6 that has been born. It's been difficult process, but the baby will be there next year. I think it's quite important on those committees I view that the effective service must be successful. We've noticed also with our visit with Panama crew that the excellence will be agreed. But I think on the ground at station level, that is where it's important that there must be quality services, must be spread in all communities. It must be a redistribution of resources that those stations with the highest number of cases are necessary. Otherwise, we're going to have a two-tier policing system in South Africa. We can't have that. You must have one tier system. That's quite important. In terms of the walks, CBCR, we've the progress reports. Of course, from the committee side, the leadership issue is paramount. We will monitor that. We also wait for the reports from the minister of police on that, so that we are confident that that environment is secure. We have other steps taken by an acting officer in command of the Hawks, ensuring the stability, but we will watch this as such, because organized crime should be the number one priority going forward. With those few remarks, let's have the program fine and excellent service services going to the National Commission.
Of the following three sub-programs. static security provides for the protection of other local and foreign dignitaries and the places in which all dignitaries are present. Compensation is a prominent element for all protection security functions with significant overtime costs. Travel and assistance costs are also prominent. The moment you have big events, the moment you have intensified campaigns, the moment you have a lot of conferences and so forth, then apart from the normal daily activities, you have significant costs also in terms of the items that are being generated by personnel. The hours are immensely long, and these personnel normally have to be present at all times in terms of their securing and protection service. In essence, this is it. You can also look at the different programs, some are a little bit higher than others. VIP protection services as a result also. And remember one thing, the moment salaries increase, overtime increase, because overtime is a function of the salary loss. Now we do cap it, but the fact of the matter is, let's say they settle on 10% now, or 8% for state. Application of the same number of hours will cost you more because you're working on a notch. So you will, it has a relay of such. But all in all, an incredible budget, not in the sense any problems in this regard, although the costs are sometimes quite high when you get certain aspects, and we are looking at a number of aspects. But I see the program has done well in the past, and I go to the next.
Yeah, thank you. Could you explain why it is that the presidential, I'm not sure, the presidential protection units, they all fall together under the same head, I presume. Could you confirm that? But why does the protection, presidential protection service, for example, now wear a different uniform? Please explain that. That's been spoken about all in Parliament. And why are they doing evaluations of 13 of the national key points? Are they specifically or particularly qualified in what way? Why are the two separate units doing evaluations? And then what is the total number of the national key points today? And why is that number increasing every single year? Thank you.
I'm also Trevor Chip. On the market, you have private discussions that get those responses.
Thank you, Chairperson. On our members, National Commission. Firstly, let's respond to the total number of national key points currently. Currently, we are giving 191 national key points. The reason why they are increasing, I cannot really say that they are increasing, because when you look at the representation, we had around 192. And then the house of the late former President Nelson Mandela was declassified, which made it now 191. Now, when people apply for the minister to declare a place a national key point, after he assured himself that that place can be a national key point, that is when the place is the national key point. The second question was the issue of the evaluation of national key point, why presidential is evaluating the 13 national key points. The reason is because General Gala is in Presidential Protection Service and in Protection and Security Service. Now, Protection and Security Service must be responsible to evaluate all these national key points. But there were instances where national key points, which are the responsibility of General Gala, like all the houses of President, the former president, what is his responsibility? where we agreed 30 of them, he would be responsible for them so that he can report on them. I am responsible for that. That was the vision for the designation. Thank you.
Sorry, 13 houses. Are you saying that the 13 entities, I presume the houses, all relate to present and past prisoners? 13 houses.
Thank you, Mr. Commissioner. When we talk about the 13 entities, we are talking about the houses of former presidents, former deputy presidents, the offices of the president and the deputy president, and their houses and spouses. Thank you.
Thanks for that. The other responses?
No. So it's the question of the uniforms. I want
I want you to respond to the question of the uniform. We've got a team that is called the counter assault team in the provincial protection services. And that unit deals with the protection also of the prisoners as the counter assault. Based on the past, we had no uniform that was approved by the uniform committee. Hence, we developed the uniform because we work under different deployments. Sometimes we work abroad, not in South Africa. We work like foreign, and also it was the identity of the potential protection system. Thank you.
Follow up,
Honorable
Colonel
Bonham,
there's some little
as well. So you said the uniforms were not signed off by the official uniform committee, and you said you created your own. I don't know how that, could you say that? That can't be right.
Yes,
we
have a response to this one.
Okay, let me deal with it.
Yes, Commissioner. Okay.
Based on the operational needs of the unit, we as the National Management Forum consider the full population for the development of the unit. We endorsed and approved that some 2.5 years ago. We then declared the matter to the uniform committee to finalize the dimensions of the uniform by this and officially fully adopted, fully registered uniform of the police, and it now allows to also in terms of all our branding and the requirements. So it's truly endorsed and approved by the National Management Forum of the group. Could you confirm that counter-assault team camouflage is the same as the Russian border police uniform?
Thank you, Madam Commissioner. I think the uniform that is in question, there is no country in the world, because we made our research, there is no country in the world that is having that uniform. And that uniform was based on the environment that we normally operate under. That's why they come up like that, because of the way and the operational that we go under. Thank you, Madam.
Thank you, Jay Person. Just wanted to get clarity in terms of those, the division of labor that was explained to us between the presidential protection services and the social security services in terms of the evaluation of the NKPs. And looking at the nominal figures in the brackets, it would suggest that the 13 that are that are dedicated for the primary responsibility of the protection service also receive some kind of evaluation by the protection security. Otherwise, that figure, that 191 would be 13 less. But I'm just trying to see how the figures match up. Because if 191 in total, and 13 of those are by the presidential, then that top figure should be 13 less, or do these 13 get a sort of double treatment? I might think, yeah.
Yes, so I understand you, Honourable Member. But what I intended to say was that 191, they are those that belong to protection and security services. Mm-hmm. And now when you add 13, the additional 13 that belongs to presidential protection services, that's what they are doing. So in essence, when you add them up, both presidential and protection and security services will be 191 plus the same.
So the total number of MKPs is about 204.
It's 204, correction is 204, not 191. But 191 is the one that the responsibility of the protection and security services.
I see. Okay, thank you. And then my third question, Chair, I do have another one, is just also for clarity of understanding, what's the operational definition and difference between a strategic installation and a national sequence?
Strategic installation is all government departments. All government departments that we do, we go to them, we audit them, we give them recommendations for implementation by the security manager. Government departments, strategic installations. National sequence are all areas of interest that are put into the minister after application or deemed necessary by the state. That if anything can happen to them, it could be in the negative interest of the state. These are defined in Section 1 of the National Sequence Act, Act 102 of 1980. That is the National Sequence. Thank you.
Any other questions? Yeah, I've got just one final one. In terms of the responses we got regarding our recommendations for last year, I think we've got some reports on that. All your arguments about the wellness of the VIP, protectors, all about career prospects, it says the organization is addressing this matter with its inclusive recruitment to design the strategy for the SAPs. I just want to know whether all those issues have been addressed, any issues outstanding from the VI protection officers with regard to recruitment, health and wellness issues. I just want to have assurance on this matter. Yeah, without going into details.
I'm going to also answer them, but there's something to share with each other. I think it's a very important chair that will remain here to see what happens in the spring.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that the issue will come in spotlight recently about the health and welfare of the members and the students working hours. They find themselves being the senior members who requested our human resources to look into and to look at what options are available to us to further ease and ensure that we are able to achieve the objective. For example, the general comment as well as the decision.
Okay.
Thank you, Mr. I think what does the response is that as soon as we start to policy the HR processes in the organization with the idea of re-engineering HR, in line with the challenges that are presented by the CDD, South African Board of Professional Practitioners, then it became clear that actually we cannot just take one part in isolation. We need to have a holistic approach in terms of that. So that's why when we respond, saying it will be catered for in the early management of the organization. So as we have started in that strategy, the recruitment for the requirements for the challenge. So what we are doing now is actually speaking the pillars of that strategy, and career talent is one of those pillars, which then is not only going to look at the strategic environment or the detective environment, but to look at the there at the forefront because they have been identified. But it will be addressed in the whole organization in terms of carbon footprint. So we have a very such a good one. In fact, we are also looking at the one position in the last of the season around protection. General, as I talk about what they are rotating drivers so that they can have broad and skill around the facility rather than just three checking the members.
Right, thank you for that. Any other questions on the right hand side? That's program 5 for 2015. Thank you very much, Chair.
Yes, Honourable Members, to come to the end of the registration and also the budget hearings on this, we want to thank all the members for their contribution, the researchers, anybody, civil society participation. Our thanks to the National Commissioner team for the interaction and the responses. We will ultimately evaluate the responses in the next week or two. On 6 May, we will come out with a report and our research report that will go to the House. Thank you very much for the time and preparation. We appreciate it. It's important that the police functions well. It's important that the constitutional duty that we keep South Africa safe, secure, and also the question of stability. So we will evaluate that space. We will anyway see the management in 3 or 4 weeks' time.
Thank you.